a prodigal return.
Sins has been washed by the blood of Jesus. Has yours been washed by the blood, folks? Everybody give me an amen. If Jesus washed away your sins, good. It's Friday night, and I'm glad that you're here. Village Inn, my dear brother Toby, we sure missed you last Friday. It's good to see you again. I hope that you're having a good week. You know, I know all of us has been dealing with things in our lives, and we've been going through a lot of things, and I want y'all to know you're not alone, and quite frankly, folks, I've been praying for you, and I'm sure all of us is praying for each other. I was kind of enjoying that song before this song about praying, you know, and I had to play it again because, you know, it's been a while I heard that song. I got so many songs on this hard drive, I can't keep track of all what I have. But that song was making me think more again about the message of hope, you know. And I was thinking, you know, at times when it seems like we're battling things, we're having difficulties, we're having hard times, and it just seemed like, you know, no matter what, you know, a friend of mine in church was saying the other day, well, Jim, you know, we have to be careful sometimes what we say out loud because the enemy is around us and he can hear what he says. Then once he hears what we're doing or saying or going through, he usually attacks us that way. And I kind of agree to that. Yes, I do, you know. But you know what? I'm not going to be afraid because, again, folks, we all know just as well, all of us is going to endure something. We're going to go through something. You know, things is just going to happen. But our hope lies in Jesus. Our hope is in God. We've been redeemed. We've been saved. Our sins has been washed away. Folks, that's the greatest hope that we can all hope for. And that's kind of tying into this message, because when I was speaking to you last Friday, some of this was popping into my head when I was talking to you. And I started thinking about this message of hope. Because, you know, lately I've been experiencing some things in my life, and I'm sure that you have too. So, you know, this message is, and the ones we've been listening to in the past, it's been stuff that I've been dealing with, you know. But when I was preaching that message last week about, you know, suffering and the hurting, you know, I'm still feeling for my dear friend who's going through a lot of pains. But that's when it hit me about hope. Folks, we have to have hope. So I hope that you enjoy this message tonight, because, you know, basically I'm not trying to, I want to say this, try to impress you. Oh, look, Jim's got a real good message. No, I'm just me. That's all I am. And I just hope that whatever comes to me, you know, a lot of times it speaks to me, but I hope it gives you hope, you know. And this is why, again, we're hitting on the word hoping a lot. So that's why I want you to understand something about this message. And the way I'm starting it all, I want you to understand something, folks. Hoping in God does not come naturally for sinners like us, does it? It doesn't come natural for me. I'm only speaking for me, so I can't speak for you. But hoping in God does not come naturally for sinners like me. I should have reworded that, but I put us in there. See, we must preach it to ourselves and preach diligently and forcefully, or we will give way to a downcast and disquieted spirit. This is evidently not well known among all the saints. In a way, this is preaching to me also. So when I'm thinking about this, and you're probably thinking, you probably got different answers, but the question would be, what is hope? Well, we all of us, in a way, use the word hope. To me, I think, you know, in the way I kind of used it and I thought about this, we all use the word hope in at least three different ways. First way is like this. Hope is the desire for something good in the future. Example, the children might say, I hope Daddy gets home early tonight so we can play kickball after supper before his meeting. In other words, what they are saying, they desire for him to get home early so that they can experience this good thing, namely playing together after supper. Second way, they can at least put the word hope. Hope is the good thing in the future that we are desiring. We say like this. Our hope is that Jim will arrive safely. In other words, Jim's safe arrival is the object of our hope. Our third way is hope is the reason why our hope might indeed come to pass. We say a good tailwind is our only hope of arriving on time. In other words, by saying that, the tailwind is the reason we may, in fact, achieve the future good that we desire. It's our only hope. So again, hope is used in three senses. And as I said, the first way is the desire for something good in the future. Or the second, the thing in the future that we desire. And the third, the basics or reason for thinking that our desire may indeed be fulfilled. So folks, all three of these uses are found in the Bible. If you really look for it, and if you kind of listen to it, and this is being recorded, you can listen to it again. But all three of these uses of hope is found in the Bible. But the most important feature of biblical hope is not present in any of these ordinary uses of the word hope. In fact, The distinctive meaning of hope in scriptures is almost the opposite of our ordinary usage. Now, before you start kind of getting your feathers ruffled or you start thinking, well, I kind of don't agree with that. Look, don't get me wrong, folks. I don't mean that in scriptures, hope is a desire for something bad. I don't. Instead of something good. I don't mean it that way. That's what I'm not trying to get at. So bear with me. And I don't mean that in scriptures, hope is rejection of good instead of the desire for it. It is not the opposite in those senses. It is the opposite in this sense. Ordinary, when we use the word hope, we, you and I, express uncertainty rather than certainty. Let me repeat this. When we use the word hope, we express uncertainty rather than certainty. Now you're thinking, how so? How so, Brother Jim? Listen to this, okay? Listen to what I just said when I said, I hope Daddy gets home early, which means I don't have any certainty that Daddy will get home on time. See, I only desire that he does. Or when I said, all hope is that Jim will arrive safely, means we don't know if he will or not. But that is our desire. And when I said a good tailwind is our hope of arriving on time, means a good tailwind will bring us to our desire goal. But we can't be sure we will get one. Think about that. See, ordinary, when we express hope, we are expressing uncertainty. But this is not the distinctive biblical meaning of hope. And the main thing I want us for tonight, the main thing I want to do for you is to show you from scriptures that biblical hope is not just a desire for something good in the future, but rather biblical hope is a confident expectation and desire for something good in the future. Do you get that? If you got your Bibles with you, folks, let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Start with verse 1. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character, hope. And verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you again for allowing us to gather here today. Father, thank you again for giving us this technology for us to still gather together to let these messages be heard, to give me an opportunity to still keep preaching to these fine folks who keep showing up. I'm very grateful that you have placed a desire upon their hearts to be here. You know, when that chat room shut down, they could have just as easily moved on. They could have went their ways. The sermons could have ended, but I wasn't going to stop them if I was already planned to be used by you, that, you know what, even if the chat room dies, I was still going to record me a message and create the site and upload messages and just hope people would log into that site or come across that site by Google or hear sermons, or I could still send that site to some of my friends, and if they still listen to the message, they would. And this was my hope, this was my desire, to continue to keep recording these messages to make it easier so these messages can get out. I know we don't have live chat no more like we used to, but you know what? We've been steered in a different direction, but this was my hope, that you would use me to place me in other areas that I was going to be needed to do your work, to further your kingdom. It's the same thing you're doing for these folks here tonight. They are being used in different areas of their lives. And yes, we've been going through a lot of things, but our hope lies within you. Our trust is within you. We, Father, must purposely, just like me and my wife were saying, you know, week before last, and I told her, I said, you know what? I have to trust in you. God, I have to trust in you. Of all things, my hope lies within you. As Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And God, even though I cannot see you with my eyes physically, I still know, and I know by hope, that you are there. And therefore, my trust will lie in you, and I will stay strong in you. And I know difficulties comes. I know hardships comes. I know pain comes. I know that we faced all kinds of things in our lives, and at times it just seemed like it's going out of control. But I have no choice but to hope that you will see us through it. So, Father, thank you for giving us this site and these tools and these people that are showing up each night. I still hope more will catch on to it and install this and be here. You know, I still hope that maybe some other training thing can come out of this. But you know what? Again, we can't force people to do these things. But all we can do is just us five gather together and place our hope in you. Father, we love you. We praise you and glorify you. All in Jesus' name, we all pray and say, amen. As always, I'm going to grab some water. Now, y'all know the title. I posted it on Facebook, There Is Hope. And as I said, this came to me last week when I was preaching y'all the other message, you know, about, you know, why it seemed like that we have to hurt and why we have to suffer and everything else. I think it's fitting that this is following up after that message because, again, as I was preaching to y'all and standing here, and yes, I am standing, folks, it came to my mind, there is hope. And that's the title of this message, There Is Hope. And regardless of whatever we are facing in our lives, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the hardships, regardless of the difficulties, and I just spoke to a few of you tonight, and you've been dealing with some things. And I know sometimes some people say it shakes your tree or rattles your chains, you know. And it does mine too. I'm not going to lie to you and say, you know, I'm Mr. Super Christian, I'm Mr. Super Pastor. No, I'm not, because at times my chains get rattled too. And it's difficult at times, you know. And you know, our hope does lie in God. Our hope is in Jesus. Greater is he who is in us than he who is of this world. But yet, folks, if you're like me, I do admit my chain gets rattled. It does. And this is why I had to really dig down and look at the real meaning, a biblical meaning of hope. And biblical hope, my friends, not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. And not only expects it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. Let me repeat this so you can get it. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. And like I said, not only expects it to happen, it is confident, my friends, that it will happen. There is a moral certainty that the good we expect and desire will be done. So, how can we have hope, like I just said earlier, when everything looks hopeless? How can we have hope when everything looks hopeless? How can we have that when it looks hopeless in the midst of our sufferings? Or when we start to think, and I admit this, when we start to think, it looks like all to be lost. Look like it's game over. Look like it's not going to happen. You see where I'm going with this? I'm sure you've been there. But I want us to know, folks, that we can rejoice because three things challenges us. Let me rephrase that. Let me back this up. Hold on. We can rejoice because of these challenges we face. Let me say it that way. We can rejoice because of the challenges we face causes us to do three things in our Christian walk with the Lord. Three things. The first thing is what it causes us to do when things look hopeless or we're facing battles or whatever. The first thing that we have to do, my friends, we have to hope because we rely on God's presence. You get that? We have to hope because we rely on God's presence. Rejoicing in suffering does not mean celebrating when bad news comes, but it does mean that we can believe that God is doing a redemptive work. And this word redemptive means that God does not waste a hurt or a disappointment. He is using them to shape and build us into the image of Jesus, which is the highest passion. And when we go through suffering, we often pray and seek God more intensely. When we're dealing with things in our lives, we seek God more intensely. When we're having difficulties or troubles in our lives, folks, we seek God more intensely than any other times. Now, I'm not trying to cut us down on that, but why do we do that? How come we don't seek Him intensely at all times? It's only whenever we're dealing with something we intensify our hope in God. And I learned something about this. We should be more focused on doing this all the time. That's me. You see, folks, my greatest times of growth have been when I reached the end of all my resources and all I had left was Jesus. You see where I'm going with this? My greatest times of growth. It just seemed like when I reached the end of my rope and all I got left is Jesus. Regardless of what else is going on, I still have Jesus. And I thought about that and I thought that, you know what? I'm starting to see it and understand it just a little bit. I'm barely scratching the surface here. But I'm starting to see it that God uses suffering to make you and I rely on His presence. You get that? You know why? See, in Psalms chapter 23, verse 4, listen what David says. And David writes that he does not fear God because... I'm reading wrong, sorry. Psalms 23, 4, David writes that he does not fear because God is with him. He relies on God's presence, and it brings him strength and comfort. Now remember that for there to be a shadow, there has to be a light. You get that? For there to be a shadow. If you ever play with, you know, your fingers on a wall, like making a bird or a little dinosaur or a barking dog or whatever against the wall, you got to remember, folks, for a shadow to be displayed, there has to be a light. Without no light, no shadow. See? I don't know what your valley of the shadow of death is. I don't. But I do know who the light is that's walking with you in that valley. I know who it is. Do you? See, in another Psalms, David reveals that one of his reasons for his joy is that he, now get this, the reason why David has the joy, he is forgiven. Notice what he says in Psalms 31:1 when he says, blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Just like the song we heard earlier. See, we can't determine God's love for us based on good or bad circumstances. We can't. We determine his love based on the cross and what he did for us on that cross. That's how we base his love. The second thing that we do when we are faced with a challenge, when it seems like hope is all thrown out the window, folks, the second thing that we do, we have hope because we rely on God's provisions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, Paul reveals that he suffered from a thorn in the flesh. And God was so concerned about Paul not becoming proud, he allowed this thing to happen to him to prevent him from being conceited. Whew. That's kind of a hard saying there, Jim, isn't it? Well, yes, it is. You see, folks, in our current situations, God is saying to us that his grace is sufficient. And even when we feel weak, he is making us stronger than we have ever been. You get that? When you feel weak, just remember, God is making you stronger than you ever have been. Folks, his grace is not some sort of abstract idea. It's not. It is the person of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, folks, the hell that you are going through right now may be the very circumstance that God uses to take you to a whole new level. And the reason why I'm saying that, because, you know, I thought of this myself, or some pastor told me this a while. Jim, you cannot sit in that comfort zone, the same zone, over and over and over and over. Because if you got to grow, guess which way you got to go? Up. So sometimes, in a sense, you may have to go through hell in order to reach the next level. Because what that does, that spiritually grows you, strengthens you, makes you become more mature, and helps you understand the battle you've just been through. So that way, if the enemy tries to use that tactic or trick again, you can recognize it. And you know why? Because you placed your hope in God. That's why. And these things that we go through, the challenges that we face, because as I said, three things that it does to us. It challenges us to do three things. I gave y'all two of them. The third thing is tonight that when we look at hope or when we rely on hope, it challenges us to do the third thing. And I like this one. And you probably can relate to it also. We have hope because we, you and I, rely on God's power. Whew. Notice what 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9b says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What is your weakness tonight? What is your weakness? Maybe it's a son, a daughter, brother, sister, mom, dad. Maybe it's a job difficulty, medical diagnosis, finances. I don't know. What's your weakness? Maybe like Paul, is it could be, or is it insults, spiritual attacks, hardships, persecutions? Whatever it is, my friends, whatever it is, notice what Paul says. He says that he will boast in those things because when we are weak, the power of Christ rests on us. The power of Christ rests on you, my friends. The power of Christ rests on you. Why do I know this? Please, listen to this very carefully. I typed it twice on purpose. The greater the enemy comes at you, the greater Jesus is in you. Let me repeat this. The greater the enemy comes at you, I love this, the greater Jesus is in you. Now maybe you hear voices telling you, okay, fine, whatever. Just quit. Give up. Let it go. What's the use? It's not going to happen. Game over. One that hits me a lot. You think God's going to help you? Get real. You heard any of those lately? Friends, do not give up hope. Don't stop. Don't stop. The enemy wants you to give up hope. He wants you to throw in the towel. He wants you to call it quits. Remember this, folks. Remember this, most of all, when you are weak, then he is strong. And remember again, as I just said, the greater the attack against you, the greater Christ is in you. But here's the key element, which I've been trying to point out to you for tonight. These three things, folks, whenever you are coming under anything, hardships, attacks, or whatever, folks, rely on his presence, rely on his provisions, and rely on his power. Let me get this again so you get it right. I don't know if you're note-taking or whatever, you know, if you need some encouragement, but folks, look, whatever you're going through or just went through or may go through, rely on God's presence. Rely on God's provisions. Most of all, as I purposely put it into my heart, rely upon his power. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. And this was encouragement to me. Our God is a God of hope. Hope here, my friends, is an attitude of looking forward with confidence to what is good and beneficial and expectation of good things with God. When you and I place a hope in God, we can expect good things. When we place a hope in God, we can know that our life is going to be that of one that is richly blessed. Now, I'm not trying to preach any prosperity message to you. But the fact of the matter is, folks, when we place a hope in God, it may not look like it right now. It may not happen right away. But we can know that our life is going to be one of richly blessed. You see, people often place their hope in different things. Family, career, health, material things. But let me remind us tonight, hope placed in anything but God will certainly lead to disappointment. It will. When we have hope in God, the things of this world become bearable. When our hope is in God, we can know that good things are in store for us. And they are. There are. Now, does this mean that we will not get discouraged? Absolutely not. But what it does mean is that we will not stay discouraged. We will rise above it. And when the trials of life comes our way, we can turn to God and trust that He is in control and He will see us through victory. You know why I know this? I think you know too. Job gives us the best example. Job himself was restored by God. It looked like it was over with for that dude. And look what God did for him. God can do the same thing for you. Our disposition in life will be that of a joyous one. We will have a peace that passes all understanding. And when we have hope in God, people will wonder and be amazed at how well you and I handles the trials that were sent our way. That's right. They can read us like a book. And if we let difficulties in life really shake our chain, people can see that. But when we show them the true power of God and what God can do when faced with such despair and hopelessness and rejoice in Him, they see that too. And they start to wonder, wow, that person has a hard time, but look how he or she is acting. I wouldn't act that way. And that might get them to think, maybe I need to talk to that person and find out what gives. What gives? And folks, Lisa posted that a little bit earlier. We have an eternal hope of knowing that this world is not our end, that when it is all said and done, we have a home in glory and a life that is beyond what mortal words can tell. Our hope is eternal. This is why we can have hope for the good things in life and see them come about. We have a Savior who came to give us a life and to give us life abundantly. Whew, I like that. When we have hope in God, look, folks, we will not be disappointed. For we can know and are knowing that He is faithful to us and that no matter what comes our way, we will be triumphant. There's a song we've been singing at our church, Hallelujah Anyhow. Never, never let your troubles get you down. Hold your head up high and say, Hallelujah Anyhow. And just like an athlete, he or she must train and go through hard work and pain to develop endurance. The Christian has to go through the challenges and trials to develop and perseverance and have character. Get that? You and I, we have to go through these challenges. We have to go through these trials to develop perseverance and character. We are overcomers. We're never defeated foes. I have talked to many people that came through this chat room, and they keep acting like they are defeated. And I keep telling them, no, that is not us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is of this world. So take that little boule lip of yours, pull it up, raise your hands up, and say hallelujah anyhow. Our hope is in Jesus. And as our perseverance and character are developed, then our hope is strengthened. Our hope will cause us to share our faith in Christ with the lost and dying world. We have a hope and a joy to share that others should see in our lives. We have that hope, folks, because 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you. But do this with gentleness and respect. Whew. So I challenge each and every one of you here tonight, and anybody else that you may encounter, send them to this website that I'm uploading these sermons to so they can listen. But I challenge each of you today to take this gift of hope that God gives you and live, folks, live your life to the fullest in Him. Live your life, folks. Be joyous and courageous and all that you do. And last but not least, believe in God for the small things as well as the big things. Accept all that God has in store for you. And the best thing of all, have hope. Have hope and trust in God. Amen. Let's pray.